If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love that is, that we are each an embodiment of. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is Finding Refuge, Community, Contributing, and Thriving. So if you're ready to learn the formula for thriving, let's take a deep breath together. Ask for the clearing. Ask that anything that doesn't serve your highest good and purpose at this moment be cleared through grace. Call yourself forward into alignment with your divine soul, with all of your higher principles. Integrate. And as you take your deep breath with awareness, just feel that aligning and coming down all the way through the top of your head and all the way down into and through your feet. Deep breath. Pay attention to the sensations in your body as spirit aligns. You are the spokesperson for God. And when you speak, all of the elements of nature must obey you. That is the power of the living word that God has placed into and only into the human being. You have the power to literally speak for and as God. So whenever you say, I am, what you add to the I am begins to manifest. In time, space, it looks like that takes a while to come into being. In spirit, it's instantaneous. And we're held accountable for those creations. So the first discipline is to learn to discipline the tongue. When you master the tongue and the speech, everything else begins to pony up to that. So we're going to be doing some clearing, so that may mean I clear my throat every now and then. And just pay attention to how you clear. So let's breathe in God. Exhale, love. Breathe in God. Exhale, love. Breathe in God. Exhale, love. And we'll chant Hue 3 times. Deep breath. I'm going to start with a reading from the teachings of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. The question is, what does the person today need to do? The answer, the person today needs to constantly contemplate on the self, capital S, divine self. Number two, must realize the self. Number three, to be firmly established in the self. 4, to experience the bliss of the self. So what is this self, this Atma, also known as? The Atma, or self, is also known as awareness. What is this awareness responsible for? This awareness is responsible for the I consciousness in all beings. This is Aham, I am. This is the real I. What does Aham become when it identifies with the body? Aham, the I am, becomes Ahamkara, ego, when it identifies itself with the body. Ahamkara, or ego, is the false I, not the real I. The real I is Aham, I am, the self, or Atma. By what is the Atma always hidden? The Atma is always hidden by the mind. The mind, which is the offspring of the Atma, hides the Atma just as the clouds hide the sun's appearance. So what can we expect as long as the mind is there? As long as the mind is there, man cannot expect to understand anything about the self. Man cannot even think of realizing and experiencing the bliss of the self as long as the mind is there. And Baba goes on to share in many, many of his teachings that the mind is made of the warp and woof of desire. So basically, the mind is made up of those thoughts that we are constantly sending forth into the world as we're seeking to fulfill ourselves and find ourselves outside of ourselves. So, let me start with asking a few questions as I continue clearing. Sorry about that. Who or what are you living for? What is your number one goal in life? Is your life in alignment with that goal? And most importantly, think deeply here, will that goal end with your body and this life? Will you be able to take a consummation of that goal beyond this world, this body, this personal identity, this incarnation, this role that you're playing temporarily? Very important. It's more important at this time than any other time in all of your incarnations. Your incarnations led you to this end of a major cycle, the end of a minor cycle, and for the first time, the entrance into an entirely new cycle. As a human species in our present condition, we can't go any further. We've come to the end of where we can progress any further. We have to, at this time, make a quantum leap that transfigures us completely, respatializes us, rechemicalizes us, completely reworks us from the works of the flesh to the works of the Holy Spirit. from the unreal to the real, from darkness to light, from death to immortality, from chaos to beauty. That's the leap we're making. Or not. Because every thought, word, deed, you are choosing into that and will progress with the human life wave, or not. It's up to you. It's your choice. The one thing we have been given, free will. We can choose the light. We can choose darkness. We can choose evolution. We can choose involution. We can choose life. We can choose disintegration. So I have to ask you again, who or what are you living for? What's your life about? Look around. What is your life about? How are you spending the same 24 hours we all have? Will what you're involved with in these 24 hours, will the fruit of all of that activity end with your body, your present personality and role, and this life? Good question. So let's take a moment and look at where you are right now in your life. Are you like so many, including light workers, oddly enough, struggling to simply survive? Or are you thriving? Do you see yourself progressing from year to year? So that you're not the same person as you were last year? Do you feel yourself entering into new states of empowerment and proficiency and the ability to hold your center more and more consistently? Are you filled with that divine spirit that enables you to live a divine life? Are you exercising conscious self-determination, calling the shots in your life? Or is life running you and running over you? Are you one of the many today that is so busy meeting the demands and expectations of others and of life that you are on autopilot, unconsciously going through this, to this, to this, to this, but without any joy or satisfaction, what to say of bliss? You see, as Sai Baba said, when you're in the state of identifying with your body and your mind and your ego, there's no bliss. There's no joy. There's no satisfaction. Well, don't you think it's time to rein in your wild pony, dismount, and take a breather? To put it bluntly, you are wasting a rare opportunity to fully awaken and step free of this entire dream, this Maya, this samsara. Through grace. Nowhere in history have we had the presence of a triple full avatar. Prema Sai Baba, Satya Sai Baba, Shirdi Sai Baba, all function as one, concomitantly, and appear to people today as solid in flesh and blood, for they know no death. That which appears to be the disappearance of the body is simply the appearance of Maya pulling back. These great avatars have neither birth nor death. They go nowhere because they're everywhere. We've never been on the planet before with three Purna full avatars, ever. And we're on the planet with the world teacher, the planetary Christ, and the masters of wisdom. All 40 are coming gradually into the outer world. Think what it'll be like to walk into the ashram physically of one of these great Mahatmas and sit in classes and undergo initiations and be tutored. Wow. Do you realize that the masters, every single one of them, no matter how high, are the chela, or pupil, or disciple of one higher than them? Did you ever think about that? Everyone has one that is higher. You see, the eternal continuum is such that there's always someone on the higher rung of the ladder. And there's always some one coming up behind us. So we're always reaching down and helping the one coming up behind us. We're always holding that rung that we're positioned on. And we're always reaching up to the one that's just above us. That principle is absolutely universal. Throughout creation. So avatars are of two kinds. I'm quoting from a treatise on cosmic fire by the master Jwal Kool, or DK. He said that one type of avatar brings the monad, the spirit, the God self, the Atma Baba was just speaking about, all the way through the physical instrument into conscious manifestation, so that you're literally walking as God upon the earth. The second type of avatar embodies either the energy of the planetary logos, the Ancient of Days, or Sanat Kumara, or the solar logos. Oh, that's why they are literally God walking on earth. The one that Jesus the Christ always referred to as the Father, as the Ancient of Days, who, though very ancient, appears as a youth and is also referred to as the youth of many summers. Also called the Ancient of Days in the Bible, and Sanat Kumara. So that is the model that's being presented to us of conscious godhood. This is what Prema Sai Baba will teach, that you yourself are God. You yourself are that supreme monad, that aham, that I am, that I am, that Atma, that divine spirit. Now that's present right now. In fact, in highest truth, you have never not been that. You've always been that. But the mind has woven dreams and narratives and scenarios that you have followed like so many rabbit trails until you've become totally lost in the brambles and thorns of the psychic and material realms. So man lives in three worlds all the time: the social human world, the psychic world, and the divine world. And the mediator and decider, of which we pay attention to, is the one we've made more real to ourselves. So we absolutely must align ourselves completely with one that we absolutely know that we know is the God representative. Sai Baba said that all gurus today are tainted with ego. The only true guru is God. That's why we start with breathe in God. Exhale love, because it is the breath of God that God breathed into your nostrils that made you a living soul. So God is the very breath that breathes life and is the life breath sustaining you. And God is love. If it's not of love, it is not of light. So this is pretty simple. Breathe in God, breathe out love. And keep connected. Now nobody can say they don't have time to do that because nobody exists that doesn't breathe. You can live for a long time without food, even without water. Many saints and sages have gone for eons without eating or drinking. Many modern Western saints have gone without eating or drinking. But unless you know how to do a very advanced yogic practice, you have to breathe to live. And yes, there are those great rishis who can breathe in the subtle bodies and don't have to breathe in the physical. And some of them can be buried for centuries under the ground. And they come out just fine at the right time. I told you the story about Sai Baba taking his college boys out on one of his many, many jaunts, field trips, and had them dig at the root of this ancient tree. And he told them to dig very gently at a certain point. And pretty soon the top knot of an ancient rishi was revealed, who had been waiting for that very day, that very moment, when the Purna avatar, the full avatar, the universal avatar, would come with his group of disciples and awaken him. It was said, and I don't know where this quote comes from, maybe it was from Dr. Hertak. I think it was, actually, that underneath the Great Pyramid, I'm not sure if it was the Great Pyramid or the Sphinx, so pardon me, my memory here is a little rusty. But the point is, two great beings, 14 feet tall, were discovered in sacred repose and were awakened by the archaeologists. Well, not something you're going to hear in the news, right? Hardly. For one thing, it runs counter to certain fundamentalist beliefs in the Middle East that our planet or whatever is just so many thousands of years old. Five, I think. Not sure about that. But they have it down to a limit. And yet they're finding out that the Sphinx is maybe 16,000 years old or older and existed at a time when that was a lush area with lots of rain, lots of foliage. And the markings on the side of the Sphinx clearly show water erosion. So anything that counters that that limited belief system is going to be shushed really quickly. Same thing for are being unearthed by Christian archaeologists. Same thing. They have a limited sense of how old the earth is or how long those 6 days of creation actually took. In other words, they interpret literally things that can only be understood esoterically at a very deep level. So back to your life, because everything begins and ends with you. Everything. Now there is a formula so simple that it is basically presented by every spiritual tradition, Christian, Buddhist, Jewish, Hindu, Muslim, Alcoholics Anonymous, A Course in Miracles. You see, the same formula reiterated. Number one, you have to turn your life over to a higher power. Call it Christ, the Holy Spirit, God, the mystical traveler, the Mahanta, the inner master. Call it whatever. God doesn't have any preference as to what you call God. When Moses said, who am I to say, sent me? Who am I speaking to? The voice in the burning bush said, I am that I am. Aham, in other words. So you need to take refuge in something. Something. Where do you find refuge? Where do you find that safe place? That high tower, that impenetrable fortress, that solid rock? Where do you find refuge? What's your first course of action when besought by the world? What do? You pour a drink? You take a drug? You look for another partner to play musical beds with? You try to numb out, dull out, ignore? What do? When the world has flattened you and you feel completely weighted down and don't know where to turn, what is the first thing you do? Well, I, for one, my first thing is I call on the Lord. I ask for the light of the Christ and the Holy Spirit, the presence of Sai Baba, Jesus the Christ, mystical traveler consciousness. I ask for light, the highest good, and I ask whatever can be lifted from me through grace that that be done, because we don't have to go through everything. John Rogers said that ego, or evil, which is the same thing, ego, evil, pretty much the same thing, devil, all the same thing, is an experience that's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. We're designed to have life and that more abundant. We're designed to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We're designed to operate in the miracle signs and wonders by the same power of the Holy Spirit that filled Jesus Christ and every great miracle working, healing being that's walked the earth since and before. All power comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no other power. And when you're filled with that power, the evidence and proof of it is in Galatians, the chapter in the Bible called Galatians, New Testament, the fifth chapter, the 22nd verse. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and goodness, and kindness, and gentleness, and self-control, faithfulness. So those are the evidences and the proof that one is walking in the Spirit. And when one is walking in the Spirit, you are known as a son of God. Proactive light. That's why it's referred to in the male. It doesn't mean male as in man. It means proactive rather than receptive, which is more of the feminine polarity. So we are to be the divine androgynous, the Ardangi. Where the male and the female are both operating equally within our expression. But the soul has no gender. And so again, why identify with something that's going to be left behind with the body? If you make your whole life about your body and what the body does, you'll bind yourself to another earthly incarnation, because where your heart is, there is where you are as well. And if you're so enamored of that physical body, guess what? You get to come back here again and again and again and again and have as many physical bodies as you want. and do as many physical things with that physical body that you want. But if you want to travel with the ascending life wave, the graduation class, you're going to need to transcend that attachment to the things of this world and the things of your physical flesh, your personality, your opinions, your thought forms, your beliefs, your little God boxes, all the things that you thought you knew, and with this body and its brain, all your experiences, all of it, except for the distilled essence, which we spoke about in a recent seminar, that is deposited in the chalice. But you know what? Once you have deposited all the best of the best of the best of your experiences in that chalice, guess what you do with that chalice? At the fourth initiation, the crucifixion initiation that Jesus demonstrated on the cross, you take the full contents of everything you've ever been and done and pour it out for humanity. So you don't even get to hoard that. Everything about you is for the use of God, to uplift humanity. It is said that only the dead are anointed. What does that mean spiritually? It means you need to die daily to who you think you are and manifest the Christ spirit in you, that is the true self. You constantly have to die to what you think you are, what you think you have to do, this world you think is so real. Got to take a higher understanding here. Otherwise, you repeat history. Your humdrum, boring, meaningless, purposeless life, your lonely life, your seeking life, your looking everywhere for love and fulfillment and a sense of purpose, but you're looking in the wrong place. You're looking in distraction. You're looking for things to squander your lifetime and your life essence in that will die with the body. So the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon those who are dead to this world, who have completely died to self-importance. We think we're such big stuff. But you know what? I remember Baba Muktananda, I was sitting in darshan with him, and he said, "You think you're so smart, all of you, but really what you are bags of stool with a knot tied up at the top." I had to laugh because it was so true. Ramakrishna was always going on about the filth of the body. In the Bible it says that our righteousness is like filthy rags. Those labels, those highfalutin things that we accord to ourselves to make ourselves bigger and better and more important. The Bible says it's like filthy rags. And so we have the righteousness of Christ. But for that to manifest, we have to be dead to the unrighteousness of the false self. We have to be dead to it. How do you diet? It's very simple. Life will crucify you. We are the fourth kingdom in nature. That is the place of the crucifixion. All of the suffering in the world is due to the fact that collectively the spiritual hierarchy of all the masters is going through the crucifixion initiation, in which you lose everything. You lose everything at that initiation, and you pour out your own soul, your own soulific essence, and the contents of your chalice. Everything noble, holy, and pure, and wondrous you've ever amassed throughout time and space and all existences, you offer it to humanity. And so your very anointing, your empowerment as a divine being has but one purpose: to be sacrificed. And that's why the crucifixion initiation is referred to as the great sacrifice. And that's another name for the Ancient of Days, or the one we call God, Sanat Kumara, the youth of many summers. He's also called the Great Sacrifice. So the sacrifice that the great bodhisattvas and the great siddhas and all the perfected ones make, and even you and me as soul, is the sacrifice of leaving those higher dimensions, those Edenic states, and dying to that to be born into the flesh. That's a great sacrifice, you know. We were one with God, in conscious delight of that. And what did we do? We took a deep dive into material life with the veil that comes over us so that we don't remember. And then we have to work like the Dickens to get back to that state which, in highest truth, we never left. So we end up where we began, but in reality, never departed. And that's one of the divine mysteries of the incarnation, the great sacrifice. So when Jesus the Christ died upon the cross, he said he made the last useless journey to prove that nothing can kill immortal love, because 3 days later he transfigured his body physically into immortality for all of us. He opened the door to a new way, a way in which we can walk in his footsteps. But he did the hard part for us, but it only takes one, and that transfers to the collective. So to have the anointing, which is the same anointing that allowed Jesus to do the works he did, you have to die to that self-importance, to that person you think you are. And those things you think you're doing. People are so concerned, oh, I want to do the right thing. Oh, I'm so afraid I'll make a mistake there. We're so doer conscious that we completely lose sight that of ourselves we can do nothing. Do you realize without the Shakti of God Almighty, you couldn't even scratch your nose? Every thought, word, and deed has but one source of energy, one electricity, one fohat that animates the whole. Everything moves by the power of God. Everything enters and departs, hence is sustained in cycles and spirals of cycles by the power of God. Oh, you belong to God. Have you taken refuge in that? Have you taken refuge in that which can never, never, never forsake you, leave you, disappoint you, and will sustain you at all times, in all places? Only surrender to the Divine Beloved within your heart. When we say heart, we don't just mean the physical heart. We mean the spiritual heart, which is everywhere and also localized at the point of your very core essence. We could call it also the Atman. Same thing. So after you have taken refuge in the Lord, you must get into a community of people on that same path. If you don't, you're going to get swept away in a world of chaos. You have to have community, satsang. You've got to be in the flock of fellow disciples and initiates that are going the same way, that are consecrated to living in God and manifesting in godly ways. Those of you that are lonely, bored, sitting on the sidelines, wondering what your purpose is, for heaven's sakes, get up off the couch. Get out in your community and start serving somewhere, somehow, or Google the spiritual groups in your area. But get into a fellowship. And the third thing to survive, and not just survive, but thrive, is you've got to have a purpose bigger than taking care of your personal needs or taking care of your family. You've got to have something bigger to live for. We've got to expand. So if you're unhappy, depressed, bored, for heaven's sakes, will you get out and find somebody that's in worse condition than you are and get involved in helping them? If you begin to participate, get involved in that community, get involved in that group that you have become a part of, make your place, express your particular flavor, your gifts, your talents into that group. And get involved. That means when they have seminars, you be there. When they have a minister's meeting, you go. When they have a conference, you attend. When they have some sort of a training, you participate. Get involved. Put your body where you have made a commitment. I promise you, if you do that, you're not going to feel like you're sitting on the sidelines anymore. You're actually going to feel a sense of self-esteem and that you belong. You have to belong, have a sense of belonging, have a sense of participating. And within that, you have to contribute something to life. What are you contributing to life right now? How can we tell? You're one of the chosen, one of the ones who has chosen back. We're all chosen, but you have to choose back. How can we tell you're one of the ones that chose back? By your living love. By your participation in the things of God. That you will take into eternity with you. That you will take beyond this body, this world, this mind, this role. Because selfless service is God in action. Where you see a soul awakened, you're going to see a servant of life. There's no exception to this. The soul is group conscious and is all about serving. There is no happiness without serving. There is no fulfillment without contribution, without giving back to life. The greatest, absolutely greatest antidote to depression is getting up off your sofa, wherever you do your pity pot, and finding someone that you can make happy. Forget yourself. Try to make somebody else happy. Sai Baba said, our very speech should always be sweet and pleasant to make others happy. We're supposed to make other people happy by our speech, by our behavior, by our deportment. It's not about you. It's always about serving the greater good. That is the life of the soul. So you have to take refuge in that which is higher than your ego, than your personal self. You have to expand and be part of a community. You've got to be in the company of people who are going your direction, Godward. You have to be contributing to life. Then you will thrive. You will totally thrive. You'll be filled with so much joy and energy and happiness and fulfillment because you're so busy participating in the godly life that all of a sudden you find you're walking in complete fulfillment. Because you know what? This is your eternal life. I think it's amusing when people pass away and they say, rest in peace. Beloveds, there is no rest. In all of the cosmos, we have eternal labor. But it's not work. It is worship. It is bliss. It is expansion of your own joy to be. Of your own omnipresent, expanded awareness. You expand and you embrace more and more and more life and self-bestowal. You become a great sun. Some of you even solar logoi. What a solar logos is. It's a being who's become a star, a sun, that gives warmth and radiance and light to a whole solar system. Do you realize that sun is the incarnation of a great individuality that started out just like you and me? Evolving through all the kingdoms of nature, coming eventually to the great choice of what do you want to do now that you've attained godhood. And there are 7 paths that open up. One of them leads to being a solar logos, or planetary logos. So, let me ask you very simplistically, have you been reborn of the Spirit? Jesus said you must be born again of the Spirit to enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? It's the same thing as dying to self. You have to get to the end of yourself, your self-importance, your self-fascination, meaning the little self, of course, to where you give your life over fully and completely to the Lord. So are you living for the Lord? In what ways are you living for God? Do you belong to God or the ego? Really take a look. Are you living for the Lord or for yourself? Are you doing the works of God, which would be of love and service, or the ego, which should be selfishness and negativity? Are you filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? In the scriptures, it says that miracles, signs, and wonders follow those who believe. Who are your friends? Jesus was teaching a group of disciples, and a knock came at the door. And one of the disciples went to see who was there, and he said to Jesus, "Your mother and your brothers are waiting there without." And Jesus said, "Who are my mother? Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? I tell you, my family and friends are those who do the will of my Father." Do you have friends like that? Or do you have fools who are trying to pull you into the world? Sometimes you have to be really ruthless and rooting out the weeds from the wheat kernels. Don't waste your time on people on the road that is wide all the way to perdition. Narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. And for that you need to follow Christ. So you are not your own. You belong to God. Everything you are and have has come to you through your Creator. You did not create yourself. You were created by God. As a replica of God, like God in all ways. The only difference, you were given free will to go with God or with the flesh or devil or ego. Same thing. You were free to choose light or darkness, good or evil, progression or disintegration. Every thought, word, and deed is deposited as a sediment upon your nerve channels. The positive choice births the fire of divinity that does not burn and consume, but transfigures you into immortal glory. That is the birthing of the divine light body. And every negative expression builds crystals of darkness that put out the light. So as Brazzo said in one of his statements, do not hate, because if you do, your divine spark will go out. So the fire of hatred and anger is the black fire that will destroy you. And the fire of love and selfless service is the fire that transfigures you into the image and likeness of Christ. Choose wisely how you will live your life, for that will determine your trajectory beyond this earth and into the worlds beyond, each of which matches perfectly your essence. Make of your life something truly an offering of beauty to the Lord. So if you have not been born again of the Spirit, let's just enter into a prayer right now. It's a free will. You don't have to enter this prayer. But if you do, make it straight from your heart. Lord, I open myself to you. Holy Spirit, come. Fill me. Use me. Mold me into the likeness that the Father has intended for me. Guide me in your ways. Teach me. Mold me. Let it be, Lord, your life living through me. Seeing through my eyes, touching and serving through the hands of this body, speaking through the mouth, loving through the heart in which you are installed by my request and invitation. Take a deep breath and receive of the Holy Spirit. I receive you, Lord. I receive your Spirit. I receive your Christ. To you, O Lord, I look for all things. For you alone will fill and fulfill me and complete my life. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a new life, a new heart, and placing within me the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now have a gentle evening and contemplate the things we have shared. if you wish. And may you all be blessed. May God touch you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, bringing forward the highest divine destiny that would be for your highest good. And let's together as a group of light workers send our blessings out to every man, woman, and child on this planet, to every being, every sentient being, all worlds, all kingdoms. May all the beings in all the worlds be happy. May all the beings in all the worlds be at peace. And may all the beings in all the worlds awaken to the divine love that alone is the truth that upholds and sustains us all. With that, we close our seminar. Gratitude to all those who stand in our divine line of authority, who source through this instrument and each one of the instruments that we are. It is in great gratitude that we're able to serve. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. God bless you all.